Time for our weekly visit with Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com, a man who I believe, just like Kovalchuk, has signed a 17-year deal.
With us?
Yes. We're not paying you that kind of money, Freddie, but it's a 17-year committed deal.
Well, that's pretty safe on your part because, as you know, by the looks of me, I don't have 17 years to live.
What do you think, Freddie, CanadianThinker.com? What does a Canadian thinker think of Kovalchuk and that kind of contract and that kind of money?
Well, I'm glad the NHL has stepped in and done something about it, although I guess it can be tested in a court of law because apparently no rules were broken. It's a strange beast because, you know, they shut down the NHL for an entire year. What was that, back in 05 or whenever it was? To avoid this type of thing, to come to some kind of agreement to keep costs in line, to know what you're going to spend in a particular year. And now management and the players, they just want to screw with it from both sides. So, you know, the players want more, and the owners, despite shutting the league down for a year, want to find ways to get them more. And now we're in this situation where we have the farce of a 17-year contract, where in the first year the guy's going to be paid $11 million, and in the last year $500,000. So, I mean, they're screaming from high atop the mountains that, you know, they're just screwing with the system. So the NHL has finally stepped in to see what they can do with it.
Well, I've never heard of a 17-year deal with one team when you're 27 years old. He'll be 44 when it's done. And the way teams move around, especially now with our players, the way people move around now with the salary cap, he's probably not going to last in New Jersey for 17 years anyways. But, of course, it's probably the notion of being the longest contract in NHL history that's attracted him to New Jersey, because it seemed as though all reports were he was going to Russia.
Russia, or they still say he really wanted to go to L.A., but for whatever reason that couldn't happen. But, you know, the optics are all wrong, Matthew. That, you know, you can't do this and think you can pull the wool over the league's eyes or the fans' eyes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a blatant attempt to get around the salary cap, to reduce the salary cap hit to $6 million, and it's just not in the spirit of the latest collective bargaining agreement. Yes or no, they didn't break any rules, but it's like anything else in life. As soon as a new tax is enacted by a government, you know, you get the bean counter sitting there figuring ways to get around it or circumvent it or screw with it, and this is no different. I mean, teams now employ capologists, as they call them, to analyze the cap. I mean, a lot of these teams, you get the impression they don't even know how to read the cap or deal with the cap. It's bizarre. But that's what this was. Like, I mean, nobody's fooled. So the NHL, for their own integrity, had to step in here. I'm not sure they wanted to, but Gary Bettman, you know, he's got to look after his own personal integrity, because the little twerp, you know, they shut down the league for a year. He comes out of it, you know, beating his chest like he's the greatest negotiator and,
yes,
you know, world savior going. And now look at this. They're so full of so many loopholes that are exposing him as a bit of a fool right now.
And how have you been settling into your HST payments, Freddie?
I don't know if I said to you guys last week, it's a vicious tax. It really is. It's not at all selective. I don't get to choose. You know, I have to have electricity in my house, I have to heat my home, I have to put gas in my car. None of that stuff is selective, and they've just nailed people where it hurts them the most. And I think it's shameful in a year that we're supposed to be recovering from this recession, people getting back on their feet and getting the economy going again. This guy McGinty swoops in and nails everybody with the HST. And really, it's a vicious tax and a shameful act by the McGinty government. And don't get me wrong, he was encouraged by the federal government to do it, but he did it. It was his decision.
Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com on the line with us now. I enjoyed the Officer Bubbles story. Still going back to the G20, and that goes on. That story continues, and this young lady blowing the bubbles into the officer's face, just as annoying as the day is long.
And, you know, it's amazing. If you click on to CanadianThinker.com and look at the comments, I think most of the people support the young girl.
Do they really?
Really?
Well, yeah, because, you know, here she is, 23, 25 years old. I don't know how old she is. But just my question right from the beginning is why? why during the G20, when you know there's a police presence and, you know, feelings are running a bit high and it's a bit tense, would you choose to walk up to a police line and start blowing bubbles?
Well, you know what it's, you know what it reminds me of? Remember when you were a kid and then you were in the car with your brother or sister and you were like seven and you do that game where you go, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not. It's that. It's a 20-plus-year-old woman acting like a six-year-old.
That's right, and agitating. Very shrewd, you know, because I guess going into it, she thought there were only bubbles, and let's see how far I can push them with this. And I don't blame Officer Bubbles at all for saying, you know, stop doing that or I'll charge you with assault. Ultimately, she was not charged with anything regarding the bubbles. She was arrested for something else, which I still haven't found out what that is, not that I care to.
Right.
But her reply was, I was just trying to keep the people happy. Well, if you're trying to keep the people happy, turn your ass around. Go in amongst the people and blow bubbles at them if you want to keep them happy.
Yeah, who doesn't love a bubble party?
That was a sly, shrewd little act of police baiting. Anybody that doesn't think it is or was is naive. That's exactly what it was. Again, she wanted a reaction, and she got one.
Although I will say, under your response column, because I'm just going through some of them now, Fred, Paul might have the best one. And rock listeners should go to CanadianThinker.com, go to this story, click on the responses, and just read Paul's one line.
Oh, okay.
I think he nails it on the head.
Yeah. Not fit for radio
no.
transmission.
But perfect for CanadianThinker.com.
You know, there are police haters, and these are the different levels of police haters. We've all probably had a problem with a cop somewhere along the line. But what we always have to remember is what they go through on a day-to-day basis. There's people on Canadian Thinker saying, you know, all they are is cowards carrying a badge and a gun. Well, okay. Get in a Toronto police car and drive through the Jane Finch area at 2 a.m. and let's see who the coward is.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah.
Exactly. And, I mean, this happens all the time with cops. You know, they have to knock on doors and tell people that loved ones are dead. And all this stuff is forgotten, what these guys go through on a day-to-day basis. So he gets a little pissed because some little brat is blowing bubbles in his face. Yeah, I can understand that. There's good and bad in everything, but generally a cop's job is tough. And during the G20, they didn't need the crap that they put up with from young punks who don't even understand the issues.
Yeah, some of the comments on your blogs, another one from Mikey that says, one last thing, Officer Joseph isn't a cop, he's a pig. If I ever run into him, I'll be sure to let him know, see if he arrests me for talking. I'd actually like to set up a little meet and greet between those two and see how things go.
That guy's a frequent contributor to Canadian Thinker, and I know he's another one of these guys that's completely off the wall, extremely to the left, and naive.
Freddie, before we let you go, we have a little poll going here at CanadasRock.ca, the Craig and Matt poll. Today we're talking about drinking, and I want to get your opinion on this. Is it better, Freddie, to drink daily but always just have a nice subtle buzz? Or is it better and healthier to be a binge drinker just on the weekends? I say daily drinking, subtle buzz.
Sure. It's interesting, though, because all I drink really is beer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got to drink a lot of beer to feel it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
My beer buzz, I don't even know what it is. And you got to watch it now because,
well,
you know,
sure.
At 0.05.
Well, you can put back seven or eight of them and go, I don't know, oh my God, did I just drink seven or eight beers?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why the 0.05 is probably a good idea. It's got a lot of people thinking now about what they're drinking before they get in their car because the threshold is so low. And that's never wrong. There's never any excuse to be drinking and have to get in your car. When people complain about that, too, I just laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, so at 0.08 it was okay, but 0.05 you're all pissed off.
Right.
Now you can't have two beers before you get in your car. Well, you know that, so don't do it. So, go home and have your two beers,
yeah.
Or, you know, open your wallet and pay for a taxi. It's a lot cheaper than an impaired charge.
All right, Freddie, as always a pleasure, and we'll continue to do what we do each and every day here at Rock Mornings, is read CanadianThinker.com.
Oh, boys, I'm loving you.